You are now listening to the First Baptist Church of America's podcast. If you have any questions about our church, please check us out online at fbcamericas.org. This week, we continue our Advent series, When Ideal and Real Meet, with Finding Joy in Hardship, as Brother Keith opens up for us Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. Let's listen in.
That arrangement had such a lilt to it, I think our ushers were just bouncing down the aisle. Joyful. It's a joyful sound. Speaking of joy, Judy and I went Christmas shopping yesterday. And before we got out of town, I had picked up my phone, and Judy said, "Do you need some help with that?" I said, "No, I'm fine." And she said, "Well, don't get snippy." Now, we had just not even out of Sumter County yet. And I said, "Well, I'm just trying to get some Christmas joy in the car." She said that she woke up at 4:30 with joy in her heart that we were going shopping. I didn't share that sentiment. Not at all. And so we went to Columbus, where we did our Christmas shopping. We'd been putting off until we could do it. And I think everybody and his brother were in Columbus yesterday. And I was noticing people. I didn't see a lot of Christmas joy. There were those occasional people that would just greet you in the aisle and they say, "Merry Christmas." People who were shopping themselves. But not a lot of people did that. Now, I realize that joy is not something that you always see. And I'm sure that the people there, like us, we had that inward joy, but maybe just not bubbling over, especially in the setting that we were in. But we're going to talk about joy this morning. We continue to focus on Christmas from the thought of the ideal meeting the real. You know, one of those movies that they always show this time of year is It's a Wonderful Life. George Bailey, who had his plan for life, but that plan was altered. And he had to adjust to reality, the reality that came into his own life. And it was the hardship that he went through that revealed the blessing that was there at the end of the movie. It's a great old movie. Well, we've looked at both Mary and Joseph individually and noted how they each had to adjust the ideal of their life to the reality that came to them. And this morning, I want us to look at Mary and Joseph as a couple. But we'll also look at the shepherds. That the message of Christmas is that the true source of joy has come into the world. That's the message of Christmas. Christmas is one of the most sentimental times of the year. You know this. We sentimentalize everything about Christmas. And we desperately try to recreate in our own lives the picture-perfect Christmas that we see portrayed, whether on cards or on movies. And we want a life that is cozy, safe, and secure. And if we can't have it all the time, then at least at Christmas we can have that kind of life. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with wanting a life that is safe, cozy, and secure. But the reality is that that is not the way life always comes to us. Now imagine, picture this in your mind. It's a warm room. There's a crackling fire in the fireplace. There's a kitten, or maybe a puppy, sleeping in front of the fireplace. All right, you're picturing this? The room is warm and it's glowing with soft shades of amber because of the candles that are lit there in the fireplace that is crackling. And the house is immaculate, not a thing out of place. It's immaculate, and it smells of cookies baking. And outside, there's a light snow that is falling, and the full moon is shining on that snow, and it makes the ground glimmer, while the stars shine brightly in the clear night sky. And you're sitting there in that room, and you're resting in your favorite chair, sipping a cup of hot chocolate without a worry in the world. You don't have a single thing to worry about. And you're smiling because everything is perfect. Now, does that describe your nights last week? Did every night you have, was it like that or similar to that? Whatever you would consider the ideal, was it like that? I would dare say it wasn't. Because the reality is that that's not the reality all the time. You know, somebody's got to cut the firewood. They've got to get it in. And snow doesn't fall on a clear night. It falls out of clouds. Stormy night. Kittens and puppies, they make messes. And cookies burn when you fall asleep on the couch. And so the ideal is not always what we think it is. In our longing to make everything better, we sentimentalize Christmas. But we can't get away from the fact that life, even at Christmas time, is not ideal. In fact, some of you this morning are facing a hardship right now because that's the reality of life. So is it possible to have joy when your life is full of hardship? I think the Bible answers definitely yes. Yes, you can. And I think in our passage this morning are some examples of finding joy in the hardships that come in this life. Mary and Joseph did, the shepherds did, and all the world can too, if our focus is in the right place. Jamie read the first 14 verses. I want to pick up with verse 15. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." They hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what they had been told about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. This is God's word. Now, this is one of those passages that we've all heard 1,000 times. And maybe we've heard it so much that we take it for granted and we miss the truth that Jesus wasn't born into ideal circumstances. It was anything but ideal. Mary and Joseph, they were themselves in a definite hardship in their life as a young couple. And the shepherds, they lived in hardship. That's all they knew. And the world into which Jesus was born was full of hardship. A lot of it at the hand of self-absorbed King Herod. Yet, it was in that atmosphere that the angel said, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." So, how do you find joy in your hardships? That's the question I want us to answer today. How do you find joy in your hardships? Let's consider the hardships of Mary and Joseph. Here's a couple who obeyed God. The angel came to them individually, and each of them responded in obedience. They responded the way they should have responded, yet their life was still as difficult as it ever was, maybe more so. Following God, see, doesn't mean that your life will be easy. Doesn't mean that at all. We don't have to look any further than Jesus to know that's not the case. Anyone who could live a perfect life, Jesus was the only one that could, yet his life was not free from hardship. Mary and Joseph, even though they were chosen by God, and even though they faithfully obeyed God's command, found themselves in continuing hardship. But in their hardship, they found joy. This young couple was doing what they believed to be right, but their life was still extremely difficult. Now, we put together information from the scriptures, and we know that Mary and Joseph were poor. They were poor, and they probably didn't have the resources to own a donkey or a camel. But beyond that, the primary mode of transportation in that day was walking. 99% of the people walked wherever they went. Now, consider the hardship of the joy that was before this young couple. They lived in Nazareth, in Galilee, which is north Israel, and they had to go to Bethlehem in Judea because of the decree that Caesar Augustus gave. So that's about a 90-mile journey for a pregnant teenager in her 9th month. Now think about it. She's 9 months pregnant, and she has to go on a 90-mile trip. Even if she did go on a donkey, that couldn't be an easy trip, but most likely she walked. And I never really thought about the significance of this until we were in Jerusalem this past spring and saw the area. We saw it. Mary and Joseph would have walked south along the Jordan River to Jericho and then turned to go up to Jerusalem. Now, here's what's significant about that. Jericho is 800 feet below sea level. Jerusalem is 3,600 feet above sea level, and it's 15 miles apart. So that's from 800 feet below to 3,600 feet above in a distance of 15 miles. That's hard for anyone to walk. And here is a 9-month pregnant teenager. It's a difficult journey. This journey was no walk in the park. And I don't think Mary was whistling as she went. I don't think you could see joy on her face because of the difficulty of that journey. The point is, they didn't have an easy life just because they were following God. You won't either. I won't either. Just because we admit that Jesus is Lord and we want to follow Him does not mean that we will have an easy life. But Mary and Joseph, they found joy in following Him because their focus was on something higher than their circumstances, God. They were focusing beyond their circumstances on God and obeying Him. So we consider the hardships of Mary and Joseph, but we also can consider the hardship of the shepherds. In that day, shepherds were on the bottom of the social ladder. Because of the nature of their job, they were unable to observe the requirements of the law to stay ceremonially clean. And so for that reason, they were despised by Orthodox people and they were shunned by others. Shepherds were still considered as lowly, rough, and even dangerous people. Now, that doesn't mean that they were that way, but that was the reputation that they had. And their life was a life of isolation. Theirs was a life of constantly tending to the needs of the flock, protecting the sheep from danger and caring for them when they were sick and injured. And that's night and day. It's constant. They didn't have a cozy and comfortable home, especially this time of year. They spent their lives out on the hillsides with the sheep. And their life was a hardship because they were poor and because they spent long hours in thankless work. Yet it was to these shepherds that the announcement of the birth of God's Son came, signifying that the announcement was for all people. There's no one lower, but it's for all people, not just for the religious, not just for the powerful, not just for the wealthy, but for all people. The shepherds didn't have an easy life either, yet they discovered that joy was independent of their circumstances as well. Well, then we consider the hardship of the world, all the world into which Jesus came. See, this world, as you know, has never made life easy. It didn't then, and it still doesn't now. I mean, we just listen to the news of all that's going on in France and England, United States, Sumter County, This is not an easy world to live in. Hardship is a part of life. And one truth that we ignore when we, in our sentimental versions of Christmas, is the reality of the world. Just the real world that we live in. And this was another one of those eye-opening experiences in Israel that helped me to see this. Both Matthew and Luke make a point that we know that Jesus was born in the time of King Herod the Great. They start out their gospel telling that. Herod was appointed by Rome to be king of Judea. And Herod was extraordinarily wealthy. He had more wealth than we could imagine. He had power. He had control. And he was a ruthless and an evil man. He invited the high priest to his palace one time, and he was obsessed with water and pools. So he invited the high priest there. And this high priest would not yield to Herod's will. So he had the high priest drowned in the pool. Invites him over for a swim, and then he kills him, drowns him there. He executed two of his sons that he felt was a threat. Just executed his sons. He felt threatened by his wife, and he had her brutally strangled because he saw her as a threat. Toward the end of his life, he had become so paranoid that he killed anyone that he perceived to be a threat, which is why he ordered the death of all the children around Bethlehem. He saw them as a threat, and in his paranoia, he would kill people. He made his sister agree that on the day of his death, that she would order the murder of several leading officials in Judea, just so that on his day of his death, there would be a day of national mourning because of all the other people that had been killed and murdered. They would be mourning because he was so despised, he was hated by the people. And one day when we were there, we visited one of his largest of his many palaces, this one right outside of Jerusalem. It's called the Herodium. And it was a palace that was built inside of a man-made mountain. He had resources that he could do anything that he dreamed of. And he did it. And this palace was inside of a mountain that he had ordered to be built. And as we were standing there on top of the ruins, Andy Cook, our guide, pointed and he said, "Just over there was where Jesus was born." And we're standing at the top of the Herodium, and Andy is saying, "Just over there is where Jesus was born." So here is Jesus Christ. Think about it. Jesus Christ, the embodiment of humility, of compassion, of meekness, and love, was born in the shadow of opulence, of power, of greed, and evil. Two kingdoms in complete contrast to one another. But it's still like that today. God's kingdom and the world's kingdom. They stand for different things. They stand in opposition to each other. Yet Jesus, the Prince of Peace, had come. He had been born. He was here in the flesh. But Herod was still as evil as he ever was. Children were still being sacrificed to pagan gods just a few miles away. And the lives of people were still being ruined by bad choices. You see, Jesus' birth didn't remove all the wrong in this world. But his birth did make joy possible through the hardships that this world brings. Jesus didn't come to bring peace to the world. He said that himself. He came to bring peace to individuals. We sang just a few moments ago, "Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King." And then we hear people ask, "Why is there so much evil in the world?" Well, there's still evil in the world because most people have not received Jesus as King. That's why there's evil in the world. Most people have not received the King. And sadly, most people never will, according to Scripture. So here's the question. How do you have joy in the middle of your hardships? You have joy by looking beyond your hardship and focusing on the message of Christmas, that good news of great joy has come to all people. It's come for all. All won't accept it, though. Mary had already said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior." See, she's looking outside of herself, and she's looking up. And she's glorifying God. And then in this passage, we read that an army of angels joined the first angel. And what did they do? They praised God. Glory to God in the highest. See, these angels, they were just letting the shepherds see what goes on in heaven all the time. The angels weren't singing to the shepherds. That's the way we picture it, that they were circled around singing to the shepherds. No, they're singing to God. They're praising God. They're just letting the shepherds see that. The shepherds went to find Jesus, and they returned glorifying and praising God. See, they went back to the same old job, but they had a brand new outlook. They were glorifying and praising God. So if you want joy in the hardships of life in this world, then look beyond your circumstances and live a life that glorifies God. Get your eyes off of yourself and get them on to God and glorify Him. See, too many of us don't have joy because we can't quit focusing on the hardship. And so there's no glorifying God, there's no praising Him, and as a result, there's no joy. See, joy is fruit. Joy is the result of something, and it is the result of glorifying Him. If you seek joy, you'll never find it. But if you seek God through Jesus Christ, then joy will find you, because joy is fruit of a life lived in glorifying Him. Have you received the King? Have you? Then may others see the joy of Jesus in your life, the life that you live that glorifies Him. Let's pray. Father, this is Your Word. You have brought us joy, and we are thankful. Lord, at this time of year, this busy season, we get caught up with the sentimental thoughts of Christmas, and certainly there's nothing wrong with that if it's just used as a tool. But Lord, may we never be satisfied in the temporary, the temporal, but may we always be looking up beyond the things of this world to You. And Lord, I pray that for those who have not received Jesus as King of their life, that You would open their minds, open their hearts and their eyes. And Lord, for those of us who have expressed belief and faith in Jesus as Savior, Lord, help us to live the life that would glorify You. Help us to look up, look beyond our circumstances and our hardships, and help us to see You and live a life that brings glory to Your great name. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. And if you would like to know how you can have a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ, we would love to talk with you about it. You can find our contact information on our website at fpcamericas.org. And tune in next week as we continue the Advent season with the Week of Love.